Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you please be seated? Kids, if you haven't already, you're welcome to head to the back for your special class. And as you're getting seated here in the room, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 12. It was read today. It is in your bulletin. 1 Corinthians 12. So the church in Corinth was a mess. Throughout this letter, Paul is pretty much constantly saying, "What are you doing? Factions have arisen. I follow this guy, and I follow this guy. They've managed to divide over every issue because, you know, church people were different back then. But they've divided over every issue you can imagine, and specifically what he's talking about here, they've divided over the use and practice of spiritual gifts given by God for the church. They've divided over their use, which one is better, who is better because of them, and so Paul includes this section of his letter to them. Divisions, 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 and so Paul writes about unity, unity, unity in the Holy Spirit. And he speaks of that unity through the famous image of the physical body, because bodies don't work well when they fight against each other. In Christ, he says that we have been illuminated by the Spirit to know Jesus. We've been empowered by the Spirit for spiritual gifts for ministry. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body of Jesus. And all of these are, or should be, unifying experiences, uniting us together in Jesus. Unity, 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 as together we are submitted to Christ. Unity in Christ. But not sameness. United in the Holy Spirit into one great big body, and that body is unified but not the same. Different parts have different gifts and purposes and roles and abilities. They're all given by the same one Holy Spirit, but the gifts and purposes and roles and abilities are different one from another. And so just like our physical bodies, that's what makes this body, the church, what we were called to be and do. And so today, as we conclude our short sermon series on spiritual gifts, we're going to look and see how this image of being made a part of the body of Christ, the church, through faith in our Lord, what that image of the body communicates for us as we use our different gifts, united together in one body. So what this image communicates to each of us as we are part of Christ's body and use our God-given gifts together. And so the first thing that this image of the body of Christ communicates is that the body of Christ welcomes each member. I mean, this is the gospel, that in Christ we, you, are welcomed in. Verse 14 says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. We're all welcomed in Christ." Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ together, and individually you are members of it." Each person who receives Jesus in faith is filled with and empowered by the one Holy Spirit for ministry. Each Christian is welcomed and joined into the body of Christ, into his church. No Christian is excluded. All are welcomed in and empowered by the Holy Spirit with spiritual gifts from God. Today we get to hear from Pam Stapley. Pam's been a part of our church for about 2 years. She stepped in and used her God-given gifts in the church, and as you'll see, she loves the connection, the welcome together that comes from using her gifts. And so as you listen, I want to especially encourage you to notice the way that serving has shown her that she is welcome and the heart that she has for others to experience that welcome as well. So let's listen to Pam.
The very first day I came, I was sent here by a friend. I was looking for a church, and she said, "I think you would like Holy Cross. And I said, okay. And I live in Monroe, and I came over here that first Sunday, and I walked in, and Richard was at the door, and I guess he could tell that I was a little confused. And he said, how can I help you? And I said, where's the sanctuary? And he led me over there. And then he said, now you be sure. He said, when the service is over, you come and find me. And he said, I'll introduce you to Dean Michael, which of course I did. And I met Dean Michael. But in the process, I also met Susan Woodruff. And she came up to me and she was so welcoming. She said, oh, she said, I love this church. She said, it is just like home. She said, you are just going to love this. And that was, it was kind of like at that second, I knew I had found my church home. It usually starts out Sunday morning. I'm usually here around 8. And Saturday I have prepared whatever I'm going to bring on Sunday. And then I come in and the ladies are here. And we get everything plated up and ready to set out for the service. When you're a part of a family, and I look at this as Holy Cross as my church family, you want to participate. You feel a connection, and you need to figure out where you can plug in and do what's needed. And the more you do, the more people you meet, and the more connections you form. And they're friends, they're family. I mean, I know how it made me feel, and I want everybody that comes into the church to feel like that, and to know that this is the place for them. This is, we want them here, and we're happy that they're here.
Thanks, Pam. But did you hear her? As you experience the reality that you're welcomed as part of the body of Christ, then you want to participate and want to serve and use the gifts that God has given you. And that welcome into the body, she said, I know how it made me feel, and I want everyone who comes into the church to feel like that. And did you notice how many gifts were used to make Pam experience that welcome? A friend invited, Richard welcome, I got to meet her, she met Susan who made a world of difference, she got involved in a ministry team and connected to others. And so as the body used their gifts, it welcomes others in. And so this picture of the body welcomes each member in. A second thing that we see is that this body of Christ image elevates each member. So verse 15 says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't really belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But God arranged the members of the body as he chose. So each part is elevated, specifically chosen by and arranged by God for his purposes. But if we're not careful, there can be a danger of jealousy over God's gifts. I wish I could sing like they can. I wish I could be outgoing and talk to anyone like he can. I wish I could teach like she can. I wish I could pray in tongues or hear more directly from God or see healings like they can. There can be jealousy over God's gifts. Or to use the image of the body here, if the foot were to say, you know, I have these 5 toes, but I can't use them as well as the hand can use those fingers. But look at those hands. I mean, I just wish I could be like them. I guess I don't really matter. But having once sat with a parishioner in her hospital room shortly after she woke up following surgery and discovered that the surgeons did in fact have to remove her foot once they got in there for the surgery, she certainly did not think that feet don't matter to the body. But the image of being part of the body, the church, elevates each member and the gifts and calling that each one has received from God. No member is insignificant because it's not another part of the body. Each member is arranged as God sees fit, and the beauty and wisdom of God's plan is that we are all different and not the same. So use the gifts that God has specifically given to you, regardless of what they are. Don't ever think, well, if I can do it, it must not be special. It's no big deal. Everyone can do it. That's simply not true. This image is supposed to teach us that each part is elevated in importance, and each member can't actually just do what every other part can. I'm reminded of the scene in one of the Harry Potter movies. When the other students discover that Harry, the young wizard, can talk to snakes, and he just assumes that everybody can do that because they're all magical, everybody can do it. And what he discovers is, no, that's incredibly rare. Since he can do it, he just assumes it must not be special. And in the church, we can sometimes think that whatever gifts we have must not actually be very special, or maybe not even really like a spiritual gift, or at least not an important one. But realizing that we are joined into the body of Christ elevates us up to use our God-given gifts for the good of the body and the glory of Jesus' name. We have been arranged as God sees fit, as God chooses for his purposes, and being part of the body elevates each member. But third, it also humbles each member. Elevates us up, but also, careful, humbles us. Verse 21 says, "But the eye can't say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" The picture humbles us so that we can't think that we don't need the other members because their gifts are different or less important than our own. Sometimes we can think that we are too special because of what we can do or the role that we've been called to play. One of my favorite parts of Pam's testimony. She talked so well of Richard meeting her and welcoming her and using his gifts in that way. And she mentioned that he invited her to come find him afterwards so he could introduce her to me. See, chest up, me. And of course, here I am ready to use my gifts to meet her. And did you hear what she said? And of course, I met Dean Michael. But then I met Susan. Just pop that little proud bubble of mine. She just lit up when she talked about Susan. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can think we are too special because of the role that we've been called to play. So well done, Susan. And sometimes this humbling that we need comes through softening ourselves towards others because of what I'll call gift projection. Sort of the, since I have this gift, I will project on everyone else that they're supposed to have it and be as good at it as I am. Would you get with it? I can do it, so can you. Let's go. It's not hard. But this image humbles us to realize that others are gifted differently, not necessarily lazy or incompetent, but perhaps they're exercising different gifts that they actually do have. We are called to use the gifts that God has given us, so don't be lazy or complacent, but we should not look down on others for not having the same gifts that we have. So there, of course, are things that all Christians are called to do. We all need to put our faith and trust in Jesus, in his death and resurrection, and there is no other place where salvation is found. But verse 9, earlier in this chapter, not included in your bulletins, but verse 9 lists faith, as in like extra strong or great faith, as a gift that only some have. And so if people that have the spiritual gift of great faith look down on others for not having the same great faith during times of hardship, if they look down on everyone else for not having the same gift, then the whole body suffers. But sometimes we need the strong faith of others to carry us in weakness. Or, as we were reminded in our reading from Malachi chapter 3 today, all of God's people are called, in fact, commanded, to tithe, which is 10% of our income back to God. All of us are supposed to do that. But Romans chapter 12, a different book in the Bible, which also lists spiritual gifts, in Romans chapter 12, generosity and giving is actually listed as a special spiritual gift. So we all need to give, but some are given the spiritual gift of being able to make so much so that they have so much more to give away. And sometimes we need others to carry us when we all can't do the same. Even when we as Christians are called to all do something, some people are sometimes given a special gift of doing it more or doing it at a different level than the other parts of the body. But don't ever look down on others who don't have the same gifts that you have. And so this image of the body humbles each member as we have to rely on one another. And fourth, this image of the body of Christ frees each member. Welcomes us, elevates us, humbles us, and frees us. So verse 14 again. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And you know what that means? It means I am not the whole body. I don't have to be able to do what all the parts of the body are supposed to do. I don't have to be gifted in every way, which is great because I'm not. But to use this image, I don't have to do the hands job and the feet's job and the head's job and the spleen's job, and neither do you. Each member is freed from being expected to exercise all of God's gifts. In Pam's testimony, as you saw, much of it was filmed in the kitchen doing a form of hospitality, which is listed as a spiritual gift from God. I do not like doing that at all. I dislike it. I like eating, as you can tell, but that's not funny. Don't laugh at that. But I simply do not like the hospitality of food preparation at all. Sometimes at home, I will offer to help my wife, who is the best cook I know, who really likes doing that. But sometimes I will offer to help because, you know, I try to be a good husband. And she will usually just kick me out and say, go away. But sometimes she will take me up on my offer to help by giving me some Neanderthal-level job, like hold spoon, move in bowl. Can you do that? Do that for 3 minutes. Don't think, just do it. And she'll come back a minute later and find that I'm doing it wrong, and she will have to correct me. But the fact is, we do not all have the same gifts. But you do know, of course, that a big part of my job is that I do public speaking for a living. And you realize that surveys routinely show that public speaking is the number one most common and most extreme fear that people have. More than large spiders, which I will never understand, but even more than death. People, according to these surveys, are more afraid to do what I do for a living than they are to die. But you know what? I love doing it. I love this job. I actually love you, believe it or not. But I love this job and the public speaking that goes along with it. And being part of the body means that I get to be freed to do what I believe I'm gifted and called to do, and you agreed, or at least you did, that I'm sufficiently gifted to have hired me, and now you're stuck with me. But being part of the body frees me to do what I'm called to do and frees you to do what you're called to do. And so being a part of the body of Christ frees each member. And being united to Jesus, in receiving his grace, being joined into his body, the church, each of us is filled with the Holy Spirit and given gifts for ministry. And that shows that each member is welcomed and elevated and humbled and freed to use those God-given gifts. And we all have the opportunity then for gratitude for the gifts that we've been given, as well as seeing and enjoying the gifts that God has given to others. So as we wrap up this short series on spiritual gifts, will you take seriously the call to identify how God has gifted you, to use those gifts for, use those gifts for the good of the church, to enjoy the ways that he's empowered the whole body differently so that we together can build each other up and glorify his name. So step in, use the God-given gifts that you have. See, not using them means that the whole body suffers as a result, but use them for the sake of the glory of Jesus. As being a part of the body welcomes each member in, it elevates each member, humbles each member, and frees each member of the body. So may we each use the gifts that God has given for the glory of our Lord Christ. Amen.